Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. Did I say that right? Bob Ginsberg.
Close enough.
Close enough. Okay. Let's try that again. Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg. Notice I said that much better. And our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven. That's Hugs with a Z at the end, and they can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Our guests tonight are Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuse from the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. If you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 1-888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's new?
Well, I'll tell you what's new. We have a new website. And
it's exciting.
We've been talking about it forever, it seems, and it's launched, and maybe you could tell some people a bit about it.
Well, it's really beautiful, and it's very, very simple, and it's very, very easy to navigate. You will find when you go there are some pages that still need a bit of work, and some pages that you had on the old website that are not on this website, but something similar will be coming up in its place.
It'll definitely be a work in progress. We'll be adding more and more content.
But the wonderful, wonderful thing about this website, at least from the perspective of running 100% volunteer not-for-profit, is that it is totally automated. So when you visit the website, you will see two choices in the upper left-hand corner, become a member or log in. Now, if you're already a member, and you'll know that because you get our Signs of Life newsletter in the mail, or you get a private little email telling you about our newsletter with a link to it, then that email that you get all of our correspondence from is how you would log in. However, it asks you for a password, and in order to create your password, you have to click on the link that says, "Forgot my password." And then you'll get an email that gives you the rest of the instructions. All you have to do is follow the bouncing ball, and you set up your own login information with the website, where anytime you move or change your phone number or anything else you'd like to update us on, you just log in and change it in your profile, and we get the information instantaneously, without giving up a volunteer in the office.
Yeah, so this will help out the foundation a lot, and we think it'll be a lot more user-friendly and a better experience for our members as they peruse the pages. I wanted to mention an article that was sent to me that appeared in the Providence Journal, and it's about a police chief named John LaCrosse. He's Barrington, Rhode Island's chief of police. And it's the most amazing thing. I know we both read it. As a matter of fact, I tried to get in touch with him to see if he wanted to appear as a guest for an interview.
I think he will make a wonderful guest.
Yeah, he's obviously a police chief, but he has a spiritual side to him. He is very much into meditation. He does guided meditations for MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. He looks to enhance states of mind where you might be receptive to having communications from deceased loved ones. As I read the article, he says that, well, his personal history is that he had suffered a loss of his brother who had committed suicide.
In 1979, I think it was. It's quite a while before he decided it was safe enough to talk about these things in public.
Yeah, and that spurred, as we know, I mean, that's the impetus of questioning all these deep things. I mean, does my loved one still survive? And, you know, is there any meaning to it? And he explored everything. He went to mediums. He got some, you know, nice readings. He became a Reiki master. He took classes in grief counseling. He preaches these things, so to speak, wrong word preaches, but he encourages his fellow police officers to be balanced and to be open to these things and to treat people with compassion, you know, every day. So, you know, it's quite an interesting story because, you know, we think of police officers as these stoic, rigid, kind of unfeeling individuals that might, you know, look frown upon a lot of the things that we talk about, but here's somebody that embraces it, and is pretty well rounded. So I mean, I think that makes, as I read more about him, I would probably is one reason why was able to move up through the ranks, because he gets the big picture.
Right, and there's a cute little story in here that they share in this article. He had been asked to do a welcome to the to families at a MADD vigil by its executive director, Gabriella Bade. And she asked him to come in and as a police chief and talk about statistics and underage drinking and all this kind of things, because two teens in that area or at that school had recently died in drunken driving crashes, and she thought that this would be something that would be of benefit, so she called him in to speak as the police officer. And instead, he said to himself, and this is what it's written here, I'm thinking, you know what? These people don't want to hear that. They want to reconnect with their loved ones. And he went into, 400 people or more were there, he went into a guided meditation, and he just started to suggest to these people what he does in his regular guided meditations when he's helping people with grief, and he suggested that, you know, they visualize walking into an area where they are now greeted by someone and that it's their loved one on the other side. And there were a lot of gasps, but everybody went with it, and it was an amazing thing as a body later conceded that she was amazed at the response that he got to this.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting, and if we get a chance to talk to him, I'll certainly ask him, but we know that many, even conservative police departments, sometimes call in psychics to help them solve cases, cold cases, and other cases that seem to be stalled to get information. Here's somebody that I wonder if he utilizes that. I don't know, you know, if he's had occasion to, but if there are any unsolved crimes, here's a perfect example of a police chief that knows that. Some people do have, you know, psychic ability and can, you know, locate missing, you know, people and provide clues that aren't available through traditional means. So wouldn't you expect him to do that?
It's got to be, because, you know, even the skeptical officers will go that route when they can't get any place with a case. And in any police department, there's got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of cases that are unsolved,
right,
where they could, on some level, try to enlist the help of a psychic. So right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more about the unseen world from our guests, Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Boccuzzi, so stay tuned.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Our guests tonight are Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi from the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Our sponsor tonight is Hugs from Heaven. That's Hugs spelt with a Z at the end. And they can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Bob?
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome back Dr. Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi. Now, the formal introduction, I'm going to give you an abbreviated one tonight. We have both of them with us. Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi are co-founders of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Julie is the director of research, and she's also the author of two books, Among Mediums and Meaningful Messages. Fellow researcher and partner Mark Bocuzzi is director of operations of this institute that conducts cutting-edge research into the deep questions that most of us ponder, including things like, what can we do with the potential that exists within our bodies, minds, and spirits? You can learn much more about Julie and Mark, as well as all of the new research, and there's a lot of it, by visiting their website, which is winbridge.org, and while you're there, you might want to become a member. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us, Bob and Fran.
Hello, Bob and Fran.
Hello. It's great to hear your voices. You know, so a good place to start, you know, once people go to your website and they see a lot of the research projects, and we're going to be talking about a bunch of it, there are so many things that you do. We know that you have very little manpower, that the two of you are constantly working. Now, Mark, I suspect I know how he gets it done by drinking mass quantities of coffee. But Julie, what keeps you going?
It's Mark saying, Julie, keep working.
You're a slave driver, Mark. I didn't know that side of you.
Yeah, you know, it's I keep well caffeinated, and then my enthusiasm rolls onto Julie in a very kind and loving way. to or motivate her to...
Like a steamroller, one of the two. No, right. But seriously, this work is really important. And so it's hard and, you know, there's not a whole lot of immediate reward, but it's really important and nobody else seems to be doing it. So it needs to get done and we're good at it. And so we're going to do it.
And we're grateful that you do, you know.
And I'd like to just throw in one thing for our listeners in particular. I know that Mark and Julie put a lot of effort into the Winbridge newsletters and emails that go out. So, and this is a wonderful organization to get state-of-the-art information from about particularly mediumship research. So it's a great organization to join, and I promise you will not be bombarded with crazy emails. They are really wonderful emails that you can read at your leisure. You can download them, you can print them, or you can just leave them on your computer, but they are just very well written. Okay, Bob, you can go back.
Well,
Thank you, in
addition to that, when you do go on winbridge.org and read about the research, there are several projects that you can participate in, and which is kind of exciting in and of itself, because you're on the forefront of making these things happen. And as Julie mentioned, somebody's got to do it, because there aren't very many people that do. So, well, getting back to Winbridge a bit, I mentioned that you investigate the capabilities of our bodies, and not only our bodies, but our minds and our spirits. So is it your hope that by showing scientific evidence that we're more than our physical bodies, that one day people will change the way that they live their physical lives and start utilizing many of these capabilities that they may not even be aware that they have?
Well, I hope so. You know, a journalist once asked me, do you think that that we'll, in our lifetimes, we'll see a future where Mark would know better than me. I'm about to like make a Star Trek reference, but like the medical
tricorder,
the tricorder that like can detect if you what diseases you have and things like that. Like, will we live to see that future? And I said, we don't need that at all. We don't need external technology. I think we need to learn how to diagnose and heal our own bodies. And I'm really interested in a future that where people are good at that.
Right. And I'm also interested in this idea of compassion, the ideas of compassion and empathy. And as we understand more about our consciousness and the non-local nature of our consciousness, that we can start to explore more deeply these ideas of compassion and empathy.
Yeah, and part of you know, that when we talk about compassion and empathy, that may be, I mean, it's easy to talk about these things in a general sense, because from ancient civilizations and biblical accounts, I mean, it's and religions are based upon, you know, empathy and compassion. But science may actually, and I think they're starting to recognize that the emotions of empathy and compassion may actually enhance these non-local experiences that people have. Isn't that true?
Yeah, there's some research along those lines that's coming around. That's the science of empathy and compassion in and of itself, outside of parapsychology or paranormal stuff, is really fascinating. And it's fascinating to think about how our brains are actually wired to a certain extent for compassion and empathy. And I think if we can get past the idea that we're just these sort of single units living in these single bodies, and that we are actually connected on a much broader scale, those ideas of compassion, empathy can become more widespread and better integrated into our daily lives.
Mm. Now, for those who had received the Winbridge newsletter, which I appreciated that you recapped some of the events that went on during the year, and I was surprised at how many different projects and grants you were involved with. So let's start off with the bereavement and mediumship study, which you call the BAM study. Let's tell our listeners what this study is about and how they might possibly get involved.
So my PhD is in pharmacology and toxicology. So my training is in, you know, among a lot of other things, the designing of drug trials. So the BAM study is basically it's a clinical trial. It's a drug trial, except instead of a drug, it's a mediumship reading. And so we're using standardized grief instrument and randomization schemes. And it's, you know, it's exactly like a drug trial would be run, except so we would have people take a standardized questionnaire before and after a mediumship reading and quantify the change in grief. Because though a lot of people are talking about mediumship's ability to affect grief, we don't have quantitative empirical evidence. And until we have that, we can't change policy and healthcare and those sorts of things. I think we always say Mark's better at the big picture. I think I'm good at the details. So we'll let Mark talk some more about that.
No, that's absolutely, I think Julie hit the nail on the head with that. We have a lot of anecdotal information that a mediumship reading can be really beneficial to people, but we have no sort of long-term large studies that support that hypothesis. And, you know, to determine, is a mediumship reading good for everyone, or who benefits from it the most, or what are sort of the conditions around a successful mediumship reading? And I know that a lot of people are sort of jumping to this conclusion right away that, oh, well, mediumship readings could be the end-all, be-all solution for traumatic grief. But I think there needs to be a lot of research to sort of set the groundwork before we jump to that conclusion and start just doling this out as a potential intervention, therapeutic intervention. So the BAM study is really important, that it's one of the first steps in collecting those data and hopefully really legitimizing the ability for a mediumship reading to positively impact someone's grief immediately and possibly over time. So we're really excited about that study. And I think it's one of the most important studies that we've done, that we're trying to do.
And as you may guess, it's a controversial topic. So there isn't, you know, traditional standard funding for it. So we're relying on people who recognize the importance of completing this study, and we're crowdfunding it. And so people can read more about the study or contribute to the BAM study at afterlifescience.com.
Okay, so people can log on to afterlifescience.com, read about the study, and see how they can get involved. And I appreciate that. And there's certainly a lot of variables that you have to account for in the studies, such as the ability of the medium and whether or not people, you know, were even open to the idea, you know, or not. So I'm sure that in designing this study, a lot of time and effort went into it. Do you, would you, I know we have a bunch of callers that were hanging. Would you mind taking a call from a listener?
Can we answer that? Can we answer that first?
Well, I just want to point out that, yes, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of issues around this study. I don't want to go into detail about the protocol in any more than we already have, because I don't want to pollute our population. So I'm gonna pull back from specifics around the methodology, but yeah, we've spent a lot of time looking at this protocol. So,
well,
and all those things that you said are absolutely correct.
And I'll just say briefly, you know, every study just gets you to the next question. So this is just the very first piece, and then that will open. You know, then there will be additional research questions to answer. When is it, like, there must be a perfect time after a death within a reading, you know, and there must be a certain population that may benefit more than others. And so those are really important questions, but we have to do this first before we can answer those questions.
Gotcha. So that, you know, this will, it sounds like, will be, as long as the funding is there, the first part of a continuing series of research studies.
I hope so.
Yeah. Fran, did you want to hook a caller in?
Yes, we have Rose from California. She's on line 3. She has a question.
Hello, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening from the beginning about that police chief and the guided meditation, both, you know, to a group of people. And it sounds so easy that it's unbelievable. Can you elaborate a little bit more? Do you know a little bit more about that?
Well, I mean, this is Julie and Mark. The caller is talking about some conversation that Fran were having at the top of the show about this police chief. Which is not our focus right at the moment. But you know, there are many people that believe that getting into a meditative state is a key to spirit communication, there are other ways through good mediums, but many of the mediums themselves, as Julie and Mark can attest to, will right up front tell you that meditation is very much recommended, and getting rid of all the chatter so you can enable a spirit entity to so-called, connect or tune in, because your mind is focused and you're not. Is that a fair statement, Julie? Is that what you hear from the mediums? Or?
This idea of entering. This is Mark. Sorry, I just jumped in. This idea of entering into a meditative state or practicing some sort of meditative practice on an ongoing basis can certainly help people with their psi ability in general and probably mediumistic ability.
Well, thanks, Rose.
I do come from a family where many, many see. They see, they've never, the strange part is that they do not pursue. They might read something about it, but it is sort of like an involuntary thing. They would not choose to see. Sometimes they recognize the spirit, sometimes they don't. They do not. The only reason I asked, if it was indeed that simple is because I have seen, and I'm surprised every time that I talk to someone, and I hesitate to mention it, and they say, "Oh, I saw my grandmother right after she died," and to me, it's like, "Oh my God, this is far more prevalent than I ever thought."
Oh, absolutely, and that's why we're grateful for scientists like Julie and Mark, because their research and the data, reinforces the personal experiences that so many people have and choose not to talk about. So,
it might be anecdotal, but, I mean, when you have so many people with the same type of, I don't want to call it phenomenon, but the same type of experience.
It is a phenomenon. I have a paper coming out in Omega, the Journal of Death and Dying, about what we call assisted after-death communication, which is communication through a medium. But there's plenty of research about spontaneous after-death communication, and the estimates are about a third of Americans have had a spontaneous after-death communication. So it's a relatively common experience, stop finding it as weird because it isn't.
Mm-hmm. I am sorry, but my original question was like, is that simple? Well, the only reason I asked that was because, as I said, members of my family, they really do not practice meditation. As a matter of fact, neither do I, and yet I have had those experiences, but it hasn't been something that they have placed any intention. It hasn't been intentional.
Right. They're called spontaneous because, it just pops up and people are trying and, yeah. Well, Rose, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you for listening.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would continue to listen now to your program.
Bye-bye. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks. Julia, Mark, I mean, so we know that you do many, many different things, but you're known for your original research on mediumship, and we know that there are very few, but there have been some other scientists that have conducted mediumship research, and it's pretty well established, I think, at this point, at least among the scientists that have done such research, that certain people can pain information that seemingly is from discarnates, and you've compiled data under controlled blinded conditions. And then, you know, a lot of times I think, okay, it's been done, so you've been there, you've done that, so what's next? So I was really intrigued by one of your studies, the hematology and physiology study, because that might be, you know, the future direction of mediumship research. So tell me more about that study.
So we're in year one of a two-year study in which we received a grant to look at the psychophysiological and hematological, so physiology and blood, from five Weinberg certified research mediums before and after they do a reading for a discarnate, a deceased person, and before and after a control condition where no psychic abilities are done. And so the purpose of the study was because a lot of mediums and a lot of healers and populations like that report a lot of health issues. So that was one of the things that we wanted to see, like what's happening to their bodies when they do the readings. And, another aim of the study is just sort of to normalize it, that it's a real thing that's really happening to a body. And maybe that, you know, we always look forward to a future where when children have experiences like this, they aren't reprimanded or ostracized, or that it you know comes into our ideas of what normal, quote unquote normal, is, that yeah, this is an experience and this is what happens to the body when it happens. So this is again one of those first step kind of studies.
So one part, as you described, would be to see if there is any correlation among the mediums with physiological changes. But what if you, in the study, as you collect the data, find that there's some sort of correlation in among the mediums? Let's say, for example, that they all exhibited an elevated level of a specific hormone, for example, compared to the control group. That information, something like that, could be very interesting, because then it opens the possibility of, by increasing that hormone, that all of us would increase our chances of spirit communication. You know, maybe far-fetched, but you don't know what kind of data is going to come out of this study, do you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that, like, something like that would happen, because we just don't know. It's a, you know, it's one of those initial sort of, you know, we say it's like a shotgun approach. We just sort of look at a lot of different things and see if we can get a grasp of what's actually happening.
Yeah, because I mention it because a lot of people, you know, we hear from a lot of people, oh, if only there, you know, there's a shortcut to this, because I can't do it, and if only, you know, there was something that I could do. Like, yeah, of course, everybody's looking for a quick fix. Well, this could be a quick fix, you know.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we know from lots of research that it's not quick, but it works. That, like we were talking about, meditation is a really good way. And I think a lot of Americans misinterpret what meditation is. It's not clearing your mind like that. The brain, its purpose is to do things and think of things. So to have an empty mind, like something has gone wrong, but to focus on something, that's really what meditation is, like continued focus, like on your breathing, on an image, on a word, like those sorts of things. That continued being in the present moment and focusing on something, that can train your brain to be more open to these sort of experiences.
So not only have you done, you know, the mediumship research, investigating, you know, discarnate people that were in the humans and the physical, but you're also interested in animals, you know, in the afterlife, right? Whether or not our pets, our dogs and our cats, can communicate from the other side. So, I mean, how did you go about investigating that?
So we, we're in the process of collecting data about what we call anomalous information reception by mediums regarding non-human discarnates. So if you know, your deceased husband or your deceased sister can communicate with you, can your deceased dog? And because that's a really strong bond, it's a really strong connection, and that's just a consciousness too. And the mediums were spontaneously reporting animals in readings, so we thought, well, let's look at that. And so we're using the same exact quintuple blind protocol that we use
to gather information about the accuracy of readings for human discarnates, and we're looking at animal discarnates. So of course it's a different set of questions about, you know, things more that are more geared towards animals, but we're looking for people to participate in that study. We're interested in people who have lost a beloved animal and who would be willing to receive and score for accuracy a mediumship reading about that animal. So people can visit our website. If they go to winbridge.org/sitters.html, they can sign up to volunteer for that study. And that's a place to always go to look at any other studies that we're currently recruiting volunteers for.
Alternatively, if you just go to winbridge.org and click on the news button on the homepage, that'll bring up a box that has information about how to sign up to our current studies.
Okay, and we are talking with Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bacuzzi, co-founders of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. The website is winbridge.org. We're going to go to a break. There's lots more to talk about. When we come back, we're going to learn a lot more than we've already learned already. So take care, and we'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight are Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi from the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven, and that's Hugs with a Z at the end, and they can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And before we get back to our show, we have a few foundation messages for our listeners. Did you know that you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% not-for-profit organization, without sending us a single pretty penny? When shopping on the internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com, and instead go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's a link on every page of our website, and if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? Not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Do it now. Sign up with iGive. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And just like Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you are probably already shopping in, like 1-800-Flowers, Drugstore.com, Home Depot, J. Crew, QVC. And one last thing, you will need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or need another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and ready for future winners to get those tickets. The link is available on our brand new website, and please be generous as these two raffles each year help us fund our very basic of programs, including this new website. In this raffle, you can win one or more one-hour phone readings with one of our certified mediums, Neil Zapowski, Renee Buck, Renata Santarelli, Lee Ashley, and Bobby Allison. It's only $5 a chance. Two of our annual December Holidays Past events had to be rescheduled. Holidays Past in Pompton Lakes is set for March 22nd, and the Oceanside Holidays Past is rescheduled for February 28th. There are still a few seats left. Our annual Grief Retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th to 27th, back at the wonderful Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. We have also added on a day just for parents who have lost children. Details continue to develop, but the event is up and running for those who do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. Back to you, Bob.
And we are back with our guests tonight, Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi of Winbridge Institute. So, Julie and Mark, I see that you are doing a physical mediumship study, which got my attention because you're using digital infrared thermographic photography or a camera. And Fran and I recently sat in a physical mediumship circle, and the whole time that I was there, I kept thinking to myself, if only I had an infrared camera. So, you know, because, as you know, most of these physical medium seances, the mediums don't allow this. So kudos to you for finding a medium that would allow that. And you know, I know you can't go into details about the study, but with the use of the camera, I mean, will it enable you to verify that the phenomena, you know, exists and you could rule out fraud, but two, do you think it'll move you closer to determining if the various phenomena are the result of PK from the living or, you know, or discarnate involvement? So that's a big question. But
yeah, those are big questions. We were very lucky, and it was very fortunate to be able to receive a small grant from the Parapsychological Association to study physical mediumship using digital infrared thermographic imaging or thermal cameras, which are actually a little bit different than what people might consider to be a traditional infrared camera. So, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But the interesting thing about this study is, as you know, most mediums, physical mediums, require that they have very, very low light conditions, which makes it incredibly difficult to fully document all the effects that are taking place. And so they it makes traditional photography very difficult, and they often don't allow the addition of additional IR, infrared light sources, into the seance space. So using traditional active infrared photography, like you would like with a night shot video camera or something like that, isn't really possible, because the claim that the mediums make, and that they believe, and their belief system, this seems to be supported, is that the introduction of additional infrared light into the space impacts the ability for the effects to manifest. So what we're doing is, the cameras that we're using are thermal cameras, and they don't introduce any additional light or energy, I'm using energy quotes here in my air quotes, into the space. What they do is they pick up all the ambient heat that's in the environment and allows us to image what's going on in the room just with the energy that's in the room. So it's a really exciting and interesting way to try to document physical phenomena in a clear and detailed way that really hasn't been done in any great detail before using this technology. And so we were very excited, one, that we were able to get a grant that would support the purchase of the technology, and two, that, yeah, we were able to work with a medium who's very open to pretty much letting us set up most any kind of experimental condition that we want to see if the phenomena will manifest, and see if then we can document the phenomena. To address the source of psi problem, that is a classic problem, as you know, in parapsychology. So I don't think that, again, I think this is baby steps. I don't think that we're currently, what this technology will do is allow us to better document the phenomena and rule out things like fraud, and present a very solid case that these macroscopic psychokinetic events are actually taking place. But then we need to think about some very, very creative ways to tease apart whether or not these effects are the result of psychokinesis or psi of the living agents, whether it be the medium or the sitters in the room, or whether they're truly manifested from a discarnate agent.
Well, this is, as you mentioned before with the other study, I mean, this is the first step. And then I have confidence in you after this that you'll both be able to design that. So I have no doubt that you'll be able to tease those things apart. So we look forward to that as well.
Thanks.
What I didn't mention, just briefly, that Julie is the author of two books, Among Mediums, and the latest, book, which is Meaningful Messages. So tell us a bit about that, Julie.
So Among Mediums, A Scientist's Quest for Answers is the full title. And that's really just my describing, summarizing our research in, so that the lay audience, just people who aren't scientists, can understand it. It's quite interesting what we find, but it, there's a lot of jargon. So I summarize it so that it's easy for anyone to understand. And, I'm pretty funny, so it's a pretty funny book. and so you'll laugh, I hope. Meaningful Messages I wrote because I was hearing, and you were probably hearing the same thing from your mediums, that with the more and more mediums being portrayed on TV or being featured on TV, that people were having a lot of misconceptions about, for instance, that everything a medium says is right. And so people like our mediums were reporting to me that like clients were like disappointed in them if they got anything wrong. And they were like, well, the woman on TV doesn't do that. And so I wrote this book sort of to correct those misconceptions that people were having, and to prepare people for what to expect from a reading and what to do during the reading, and then sort of how to reflect on the reading afterwards. So it's really just sort of a instruction manual on how to get a reading as a sitter.
Yeah,
and
it is a very good book, and you do interject a bunch of personal anecdotes, which are very funny and some very serious, and it's an e-book, so $5 you can get a download a copy and enjoy. And the other book I haven't read, Meaningful Messages. So tell me about that.
That's the one I just was saying was like the handbook.
Okay.
For a reading, that's Meaningful Messages, right? Which is only 99 cents. And I just want to say, people go, "Oh, ebook, I don't have a reader," or whatever. And I thought the same thing. But my bachelor's degree is in environmental science, so we wanted to save paper. And neither of these books are worth the cost it would take to print them on paper
because of their size.
Yeah. Oh,
not
yeah.
Because of their content.
Right. Right. But thank you, Mark.
Thanks for pointing that out, Mark.
Fantastic. But I just wanted to say you can read an ebook on any computer and any tablet, any device on your phone. My neighbor's reading it on her phone. So you don't need a Kindle. You don't need, so if you, on the page where you can buy the book on Amazon, which you should go to through Amazon links on various websites, that you can download free software to read these ebooks on almost any device. Wherever you're listening to this right now, you probably could read it on that. So yeah, Among Mediums is $4.99 and Meaningful Messages is 99 cents.
Yeah,
okay.
And one of the things I wanted, that I'm excited about, especially with Among Mediums, is that when Julie designed this book, she really, there are a lot of really, really great books out there on afterlife research, and they're really comprehensive. But what we wanted to do was to really make something that was short and concise and easy to read and easy to get your head around. And, we live in this digital age where people are used to tweets and Facebook posts. So we thought, well, maybe we can condense the relevant bits of this story into something that's very bite-sized, but very manageable and very informative. And the other piece to keep in mind here is that we put all of our research papers, as soon as we get them published, we get permission from the publishers to post them for free on our website. So Julie's book is sort of this lay audience friendly overview, but for anybody who wants all the details, they can go to our website, they can go to the publications page, they can download all of our publications, they can see the specifics of the research, they can see how we do the statistical models, they can see how we, the methods. And so all that information is available. Anyway,
see, I told you guys he's good at big picture and I'm good at details.
Well, that's what you call a team, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why things work, and they work very well. And you are able to optimize every condition with limited funds, which one day we hope will be multiple plentiful funds.
Thank you.
We're kind of running out of time here. There's another study that invited ostensible discarded interactions with electronic equipment. But I mean, I love these titles because you're scientists. But people, can read more about that. I mean, just quickly, Mark, I mean, you're investigating discarded interactions with electronic equipment.
Yeah, so just really, really quick, we see a lot on these ghost hunting shows, for example, people using all kinds of different kinds of devices to try to facilitate communication with discarnates in the field. And there's this area called instrumental transcommunication where people are using different devices. So I wanted to pull that out of the field, which is a really, when you're out in the world, things are really difficult to control. So we tried to bring it into the lab and we're studying how these different devices work when we invite discarnates to come into the lab. And this is very similar to a situation where, for example, in a seance. So it's not like crazy that we're just inviting dead people to come into our laboratory. There's precedent for it. And
right.
So we've set up environmentally controlled conditions and statistical tests to see the to test the effectiveness of all kinds of different devices.
Okay, that's great, and that's and you did do it that quickly, so I appreciate that. go on to winbridge.org. Specifically, check out the bereavement and mediumship study, which BAM study. You can get involved with that. You can make a difference. I encourage you to do that. Julie and Mark, thanks so much for being with us. There's so much more to cover, but we'll just have to invite you back real soon, and we'll talk more. So thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Phyllis Alexander, Betty Alexander, Ann Hutchinson, John Cahelli, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel F., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierre, Guflora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Farron, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joelle Orman, Philip McPhee, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dwyer, and I am not reading that last name right, Gina D. Donato. Okay. And now let us, as one consciousness, give us our energy of love through praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.